Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so this morning, this very early morning, Central Time, 6 a.m. I know I said we would be together at 7 this morning, but I had my babies one more night. Thank you, God, for my children, my grandchildren, and just being a child of God. Praising the Lord this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's what God gave me this morning, a psalm word, Psalm 107. Hallelujah. We got to praise God every day. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, hallelujah. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I thank God that I am redeemed. I thank God that I got a lot more work to do, but I'm grateful that he has brought me through. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I love you, God, and I thank you, God, for another day. God has given me a do-over. He's giving you a do-over if you're listening in. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father God in heaven, I lift up your name this morning. Just saying, Abba, Father, watch in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive us our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all kinds of evil. For thine is kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Giving this word to you, O God, I ask you, Father, increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in thy holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. I say it again. You, Lord God, are my strength. And you are my redeemer. And I just say, thank you, Father God, for redeeming me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me strength. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all of you, Father God. For I am truly grateful to be one of the redeemed. And I'm not ashamed to say so. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in this morning. Let's get started in this Word of God. And the Word of God comes out of Isaiah chapter 21 to chapter 22, verse 25. You want to write down where we're going to be going this morning. Again, Isaiah chapter 21 through chapter 22, verse 25. 107 verses 1 through 9, which is where our title comes from this morning. Proverbs 25 verses 14 through 16. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 through 16. So let's get started this morning. And it says, a burden against the wilderness of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. A distressing vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. All media, all is sighted. I have made feasts, therefore my loins are filled with pain. Pains have taken hold of me like the pain of a woman in labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. My heart wavered, fearfully, for fearfulness frightened me. The night for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. Prepare the table. Set a watchman in the tower. And drink. Arise, you princes. Anoint the shield. But that's as the Lord said to me. Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. And he saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels. And he listened earnestly with great care. Then he cried, "A lion, my Lord, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have set at my post every night. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen." Then he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen, is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Oh, my thrashing and the grain, my floor, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Israel, I have declared to you the burden against Duma. He calls to me out of care, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" The watchman said, "The morning comes and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. The burden against Araba. In the fort in Araba, you will lodge, O you traveling company of the Danites, O inhabitants of the land of Tema. Bring water to him who is thirsty. With their bread they met, but they fled from the sword, from the drawn sword, from the bent bow, and from the distress of war. But thus the Lord has said to me, within a year, according to the year of hired man, all the glory of the God will fall, and the remainder of the number of archers, the mighty men of the people of Kedar, will be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. The burden against the valley of vision. What ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetop? Chapter 22 of Isaiah. You who are full of noise, a talkative city, a joyous city. The slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All your rulers have fled together. They are captured by the archers. All who are found in you are bound together. They have fled from afar. Therefore I said, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble and treading down by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision. In the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying in the mountain. Elam bore the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kerr uncovered the shield. It shall come to pass that your choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array. He removed the protection of Judah. You looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You also saw the damage to the city of David, that it was great, and you gathered together the waters of the Lord pool. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem and the houses you broke down to fortify the wall. You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old fool, that you did not look to its maker. Nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. And in that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth. But instead, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, surely for the iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, go, proceed to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what have you here, and whom have you here, that you have on a sceptre here, as he who owns himself a sceptre on high, who carves a tomb for himself in a rock? Indeed, the Lord will throw you away violently, O mighty man, and you will surely seize you, and will surely seize you. He will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball. Toss you like a ball into a large country. There you shall die. There your glorious chariot shall be the shame of your master's house. So I will drive you out of your office, and from your position he will pull you down. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Helikai. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hands. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place. And he will become a glorious thorn to his father's house. They will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the posterity, all vessels of small quantity, from the cup to all the pitchers. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, the peg that is fastened in the secure place will be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was on it will be cut off. For the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 22:22, he shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. Revelation 3:7 applies this verse to Jesus when he gives us an open door of ministry and beckons us to walk through it. We are to do so without fear that it will slam shut behind us. He is sovereign. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God has redeemed us to be better. He has called us. And no, we are not perfect. Some of us are hot messes with stuff everywhere in our life, not able to concentrate, not able to do. But God loves us too. He loves us in our good. He loves us in our bad. He loves us in our ugly. And he has redeemed us all with the blood of Jesus. And for those that are just joining me this early morning, talk about life lessons on this show. I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It is a daily meditation Bible. And God put it in my heart to use this Bible for this blog because it's a Bible study. My assignment is to read the Bible on the air for 1 year from Genesis to Revelation. I have been doing this for about 5 years. And we've had different Bibles. We've had chronological. We've had King James, New King James, Hebrew and Greek. We've had all kinds of Bibles that we have read, and I'm so grateful that God has given me this assignment because it has helped me in my ministry to know the word and to hear the word and to know when a word is out of context. Because so many times we hear a word spoken and then you realize, and it something doesn't sound right. Because when you hear it and you read it and you meditate on it, you realize when it's not being spoken in context. You realize when a proper liar is lying. Because you know that's not what the Word of God says. It's nice to read the Word of God. It's great to read the Word of God. Because this is your weapon of choice when you fight the enemy. Because he will come at you. He's going to come at you with everything. He's going to make you feel bad about yourself. He's going to make you think, well, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. You did this. You did. You did. You did. And you're like, wait a minute now. Who are you to mess with a child of God? Devil. So you try to come between you and other saints of God. Because that's his job, to try to divide us and conquer us. But God is great. He's great. He can be great. Because don't let the enemy try to get into your ear and say, they told you this or that. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Don't allow the enemy to come into your heart, your mind, or your spirit. Because he's going to try. Going to try. And you have to say not today. And mean it. And as we get into our word for this morning, we are coming out of the 107th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. And I love this word. And shout out as I do this to Israel Houghton, who every time I read the 107th Psalm, especially this, I always think of Israel Houghton and New Breed. You know, he has a song out, and it just says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know, and he uses scripture so wonderfully in his verses and in his song. So shout out to Israel. I just love you. And again, congratulations on your new baby. And as we go in, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." My heart. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for redemption. Thank you, God, for your faith. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Proverbs 25:14-16. "Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain." Come on now. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind. Oh, well, I do this, then I do that. Okay. Are you paying your tithes? And I know there are those that say that you shouldn't tithe, but you don't have to tithe, that it's all about giving and da-da-da. But we give God everything. We always give to God, right? Whatever God gives, you give back. You know, I always say tithing is not about trying to get to heaven. Tithing is about just doing what's right. You know, you get a paycheck, right? God bless you with a position, with a job, but you get a paycheck. Out of that paycheck, security, you know, you may put some money in investments. You may do a lot of different things with that check. And with that check, once you get out, they take all their stuff out. You get that check. And from that check that you bring home, you got to pay for your light bill, your gas bill, your water bill, you know, car payment, house payment. And you take off. Because you are the paycheck for your church. You are the one that pays the light bill, the gas bill, the water bill, the mortgage. Our tithes take care of God's house. How many times have you seen the house of God get closed down? Why? Because they couldn't afford the rent or they couldn't afford the mortgage because the people coming to church were not tithing. They were not giving to God what belonged to God. And God will hold you accountable when you don't give what belongs to God. You wonder why your ears aren't meeting because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You got to talk to God every day. Lord, what do I do? You know, God knows your heart, but you still got to give God what is due God. And the word says, the proverb will dine you out. It will talk about you. Solomon didn't play. He knew, it was like this man knew everybody's business. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Well, I gave to this and I gave to that, and you haven't given anything. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Have you found, honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you will be filled with it and vomit. All up in the business of people, isn't it? But be careful. You don't overeat. You will get sick. Thing behind your teeth called a tongue. It can heal or it can kill. It can build up or it can destroy. It can mess folks up. This little thing called a tongue. It will mess you up. We got to be careful, and we got to pray for redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give me for sins. I've committed sin and unsin. I ask you to forgive me for the mess in my life, God, because I made the mess. But I know you have a message for me, God. We got to ask God to forgive us our sins. Forgive us the debt. You know, I know we hear people, when we say the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, forgive us our trespasses, we give those who trespass against us. That's verse 14. That's not in the Lord's Prayer. That comes after the Lord's Prayer. But we've been trained to say that, so we say it. When it, in fact, it's written, forgive us our debt, we forgive our debtors, and it's written that way because God wants to forgive, yeah, God to forgive us the debt of as we forgive the debt of those that have sinned against us. We want God to forgive us our sins. Our sins are like a debt to God. And we ask God to forgive us, and we got to forgive us. We got to forgive. Then we do for God. That's how we are redeemed. By love, by forgiveness, by hope in the future, by grace, by the mercy that comes from only God. and the grace that comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Are you redeemed this morning? Are you redeemed this morning? Are you redeemed this morning? If you are redeemed, say so. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't let anybody make you feel less than a child of God. Take Jesus with you. Let his light shine in you. And let's go into 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And it says this, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, but I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. But indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. But even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same that made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us is nothing. But godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence is produced in you? What clearing of yourselves, indignation, what fear, what venom, what desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you prove yourself to be clear in this manner. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who has done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that I care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in any way I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed to you in truth. Even so, our boasting to Titus is found true, and its affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. Wow, Paul is calling us to repentance. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We want to be redeemed. We want to repent. We want to be better. And as we go through these life lessons from Dr. Stanley, it says this in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The promises of God are meant to lead us to purity of life, but they do not do so automatically. We have to appropriate them and access their power by choosing to use them as God intended. 2 Corinthians 7:6, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. How often do we miss God's answers to prayer because we don't recognize them when they come? We look for something miraculous, usually unusual, spectacular, and God sends us Titus. God don't always send the spectacular and the miraculous and wow. God may just send awesome. Right. It's amazing. Not everything is not flash and dash. You know, every pastor is not going to run from one end of the building to the other, in and hollering, standing on pews, jumping over things. That's not every pastor. Running up and down from the pulpit. Got the sweat flying and the spit flying. That might not be who God sends. God may send a Dr. Stanley who calmly teaches you the word, who calmly breaks it down so you can understand it, who calmly lets you know that there's the Lord God, what we need. Because he wants us to be saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us redeemed. In 2 Corinthians 7:9, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. God chastens us not so that we will feel ashamed, but so that our sorrow leads us to repentance and restored fellowship with God. The result makes him happy, not the means he uses to achieve the result. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Sorrow that doesn't lead anywhere has no value. Sorrow for the sake of sorrow comes from the devil's toolbox. I'm going to read that again. Godly sorrow reproduces repentance leading to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:10. One more time. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Sorrow that doesn't lead anywhere has no value. Some mean, nasty stuff. And you say, no, you need to tell them you're sorry. As we roll our eyes. Sorry. Without it. And you know that sorry didn't go any further than the top of a knee. Because it wasn't heartfelt. And it wasn't genuine. And this is where it says, soul for the sake of soul comes from the devil's toolbox, not that of God. Godly sorrow leads to life. Demonic sorrow leads to death. Amen. Don't play with your sorry. If you say you're sorry, come at it from the heart. Come at it from a heart of repentance so you are redeemed. Because an ungodly sorrow is a toolbox for the enemy. Sorry. Tell me what to do. Attitude determines altitude. Thank you, Prophet. Amen. We got to be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to get into our redemption. get into our repentance, because it will slither in if you don't watch it. His goal is to kill, steal, and destroy, and to tear apart. That's what he does. That is his job. And we got to close that door that he does not try to slither in and come between you and redemption. And this is a call to repentance, a life example. And it says, Paul wanted the best for the people of Corinth. He greatly loved the church and actively worked for the good of its members. During a trip to Macedonia, Paul realized that the ethical and doctrinal problems in Corinth were so great that without correction, they would result in the ruination of the church. Therefore, Paul wrote a stinging disciplinary letter to the church, preferring the people of Corinth to be wounded in correction and heal rather than continue on the pathway of sin and death. He rebuked them because he was their pastor. He was their apostle. He was the creator of the church, and he wanted them to do right. The Apostle Paul was on his job. It is the concept that one finds in cancer treatment. The manner by which cancer is treated is by radiation or chemotherapy, which destroys harmful cells. Though the remedy is often harsh and draining, it stops the cancer's consumption of the body. It stops it in its tracks. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul wrote, godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation to be regretted. God does not desire to see you face pain and suffering, but at times there are such destructive things at work in your life that he must root them out. His desire is that you would repent. He kills the cancer cells of sin so that you might be able to enjoy the abundant life he has for you. God invites you to confess your sins to him. Acknowledge the sins which plague you so that you can help, so he can help you live the bountiful life you are intended to live. And that is our word for this morning. And our prayer for today is this: Abba, Father, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 13:24, and we know, spare the rod for death. You know, so Father, you are perfect in all your ways. You don't leave us to our own devices, hoping that we'll magically figure out what is right or wrong. You don't expect us to read your mind either. You are loving in all you do. Even your correction is done in kindness. Thank you for your love that keeps leading us back to the path of life. Your kingdom's ways are so much better than the world, but who can know them if they are not taught? You instruct me in the customs of your kingdom with the patience of a compassionate father. I am learning to be more like you. May my heart stay humble and soft towards you. My good Father, that I would not become hardened to think that I know it all or have arrived. Come on now. I trust you to correct me and discipline me when needed. And I submit to you. I am not afraid of you. There is no reason to be. And the question is this: have you experienced God's discipline in your life? And my answer to that question is, yes, I have. And it is not pleasant. And that's why I do my best to do what my daddy says to. You know, and I'm sure those that have been with me a while have heard this testimony that, you know, I was young and went to one of my best friend's sister's wedding. And it was not very far. It was a few blocks, you know, down the street, as they say, and around the corner. But I was told to be home before the street lights came on. In other words, be home before dark. I went to the wedding, drove around in the limousine with the bride and groom, waved at my dad as he was sitting on the porch, went back to the church, had cake and punch, and, you know, just had a good time. Realized the time and went running home like Cinderella at midnight, and got home, and the street light was coming on. And here I come running across the little, because there's a street then that was like I could cut through a house and then hit an alley and then come across a parking lot. Now, understand, I wasn't afraid because I passed by all the houses of my parents' friends. So it wasn't like I was not being watched, because I was all the way home. Sit on porches. So I waved at people, kept it moving, made it home. Life was coming on. Dad didn't say nothing, but I got a spanking. I got a spanking. Because of disobedience, I got a spanking. And I'm going to tell you something. I deserved it. And it stood out in my whole life. Because my dad was not one that spanked me. He didn't do it. He never spanked me. Except for that one time. And then he explained to me in love why. Because it wasn't safe. It was a Saturday night. All kind of people come out on that area, in our area on Saturday night. You know, we were called to sit for a reason. Everything, pool halls, Masonic Lodge, restaurant, all this stuff is on these four little corners. But folks passed by our house, came into our neighborhood from all over the place to come down there to dance and to play pool and to hang out on Saturday night. So it was a safety thing. My dad wanted me to be safe. Father God wants us to be safe. He wants us not to fall into the hands of the enemy. So it was a safety issue. So don't rebel against God. If you are redeemed, say so. Ask God to forgive you when you mess up between us. And thank God daily that he loves you. He wanted to discipline you. My dad loved me and disciplined me because he didn't want me to make the same mistake again. So I say to you today, keep God first in everything that you do. When you are redeemed, say so. By the blood of Jesus, I am changed because I am a child of God. Know who you belong to and allow God to continue to guide and lead you. And all you do, acknowledge the Lord and let the Lord lead your path. Thank him for this morning. Thank all of you that have taken time to join in this early morning. I'm saying it again. Because I'm hopeful we will be back to normal on tomorrow. I thought we would be back to normal today at 7 a.m., but something came up, and I needed to keep my grandkids one more night. So I am getting ready to take my children to school. And so I thank God for all of you for listening in, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to do my job for him. As I do what I do for my baby that I love to pieces. I am grateful, I am thankful, and I am blessed to be a grandmother because God did it. And I'm grateful to be with you. So thank you, God, for all of you. Don't get upset if you're disciplined family. Don't get upset if you're given constructive criticism. Don't get upset if you get disciplined by God because God told you to go left and you went right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I guarantee you, he will. And knowing that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap as we pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. Let God put that pep in your step as you move forward in God's word, because there's nothing like our daddy God. There's nothing who loves you more than anything. Have a blessed day, family. Join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Check it, sit, just to be on the safe side. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you. And I ask God's blessings, your best blessings, over you all. In Jesus' name, I lift up, giving him honor, glory, and praise, and saying, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, because I am redeemed. Be blessed, family. It's right.